Hey, Drew.
Yeah, John?
Yo, can I borrow your bike?
What's that? Over?
I said, mate, can I borrow your bike?
What's that? Over?
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
You're listening to The Hourchive, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
That's the noise a BMX bike makes.
Yep.
Whenever it is in the air.
Oh, is it in the air?
Yeah.
I thought it was just whenever it moved.
I only noticed it when it was in the air.
Oh. You were more observant than I was. But
I was paying close attention.
Yeah.
I was rapt.
I'm glad.
Okay. It's the first...
2013. It's the first 2013.
Yeah. Anyone's ever experienced... Yep. And it's our 1983 movie retrospectacle.
That's right.
Retrospectacular.
It's been 30 years since 1983 happened.
Yeah.
And all the movies from 1983 happened. And
you thought that a bunch of movies happened in 1982, but you didn't even think about the fact that a bunch of movies happened in 1983.
There was a whole other year afterwards.
Yeah. And so like our retrospectacle last year... We're going to do four movies this year.
Mm-hmm.
That
I picked two. Drew picks two.
Yeah, they all came out in 1983. We watch them and then we talk about them.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You picked this movie.
I did. I was excited to... Well, okay, first of all, I didn't... There were a bunch of movies that I thought came out in 1983, and I thought, oh, this is good. I've already got my list.
Yeah.
And then I go down the list of movies that actually came out in 1983, yeah. And none of them are on there. But I was thrilled to no end to see BMX Bandits on the list of movies that came out in 1983.
Okay.
I think this is a fantastic movie.
Okay. When did you, is that your, that's all your detail?
Yeah.
When did it come out? Or not when did it come out? when did you see it?
I saw it probably 1986, 87,
wow.
Something like that. See, this. Yeah, I heard that
yeah.
And I said, sold. No. I saw, this was the thing. This was what I did. Circa 1986, 87, 88. I come home from school at 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I go into the basement. I turn on the TV. We have recently acquired cable.
Yeah.
And I have recently discovered that cable is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turn on I go to HBO. I go to Showtime.
Yeah.
And I would almost always catch them in the middle. It was never like, you know, I come home at 2:45 and there's a movie starting at 2:45.
Yeah.
I was always in the middle. And one day... I came home and I turned on Showtime. I'm pretty sure it was Showtime that was showing this. And I saw these three teenagers in weird spandex outfits go down a water slide with their bikes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm done. I'm in. This movie already wins. This is great.
And you didn't really have any idea how much that movie was really tailored to your...
I had no
I mean that
clue.
Was just one
that was one now admittedly
aspect of this and it just gets better.
That's a hell of a sell, right? I mean that's a hell of an opening salvo, you know, because
but it's not even the opening salvo. It was
no,
for you.
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great introduction for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you could not arguably have picked a more potent window into the world of BMX Bandits for me to enter.
Yeah.
Than that one.
I want to sort of detail the aspects of this that I think hit the right notes.
Oh, this is great because I was thinking this as I was watching it. I was sort of in
my
mind.
Taking off the checklist?
I was like itemizing all of these things and trying to analyze, like, well, what is it exactly about this movie that I like?
Well, first, I mean, just to start off, BMX bikes, right? Mm-hmm. Initially, that's good.
Yeah.
You've got an arcade scene. You have the water park scene. Uh-huh. You have sort of a kind of a punk rocker Billy Idol-esque villain.
Yeah.
There was something. What? There was another thing where I was just like, man, did like John made this movie?
Yeah. There's a huge one that you're missing right now. Huge. It takes up a big chunk of the movie too.
What?
The cemetery.
The cemetery. Yes.
There's a whole scene in
exactly.
a cemetery.
The cemetery scene. I was just sort of like, wow, I mean, this is the movie.
They nailed it. Yeah. It was like, arguably you could say that they knew that.
Oh,
and
plus
80s. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It is replete with the 80s.
It is very, very ripe with
kids rebelling against,
getting the upper hand on the adults
in a silly way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But not just like the, not just the comical ones, but also, you know, like, I mean, there are no parents in this movie, which is awesome because you don't need them. Kids don't need parents.
That's right.
There are no teachers in this movie.
There's the establishment.
There is the establishment. Now, the establishment does sort of, it sort of clamps down at one point in the movie.
Yeah, but they defy.
But they defy it, and they win.
Yeah.
And they...
Spoiler alert.
BMX bandits. They're wild in the streets, in the chase to end whole chases. It's thrills and spills. It's fast and furious fun. There's only one word to describe it. Wow! Now showing Village Cinema City and selected independent cinemas.
Maybe we should outline the premise.
Okay, that's a good idea. For the people who haven't seen it. Well, and this, going back to my original thing, why I was excited to see this on that list. Because I don't think enough people know about this movie.
Yeah.
I think it's...
I say watch it.
Yeah.
It's worth watching.
Quentin Tarantino, I found this out. Quentin Tarantino liked this movie so much that apparently on the Blu-ray cover, there is a quote from him.
What's it say?
It says, if we had grown up in Australia, BMX bandits would have been our Goonies.
I agree with that.
I totally agree with that.
I do, yes. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Yeah.
It opens with a crime taking place. A group of criminals dressed in blue jumpsuits wearing pig masks. They rob a bank. Yeah?
It was a jewelry store, wasn't it?
They rob something.
Yeah.
Maybe it was
See, even now. I can't even remember what it...
And they get away with it.
Yeah.
And they... I think then we cut to our heroes, PJ and
Goose.
Suiting
up Rambo style, strapping on them their...
Oh, right, they suit up.
Yeah, all of their...
PJ and Goose, right?
Yeah.
And when PJ and Goose show up, that's when I began to take note of the intense, vibrant hues of color that were assaulting me. And the movie, you would think that they had just figured out how to make color movies.
Yeah. The way they are.
The intensity of color.
Yeah.
The saturation is insane.
It is off the charts.
Yeah.
What I love too, immediately, you know that.
What do you know immediately?
That PJ is in the red and Goose is in the blue.
Yeah.
Like the down the, I mean, there are some other accent colors
yeah,
on
but
there.
They're primary
their
persons,
but
colors.
They are color coded friends.
Absolutely.
One wears blue. The other one wears
and
red.
They start doing some insane BMX tricks.
Well, and they do them to the incredible sounds of the BMX bandits opening theme,
which plays throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I believe it's the only song.
They've got like one musical cue. Yeah, what would you got something that good? You don't need another one. Yeah.
It works for any.
You don't need anything else. You don't need it.
So they're riding around on the beaches of Australia. Do we know where it's set? Is it Sydney?
I don't know if they tell you that, but I know.
I feel like it's never stated.
It's a neighborhood of Sydney, and I know only I know that because the director, he actually, it was originally written for a different area. Mm-hmm. Of Australia, and he said, look, there's all these great beachfront areas that we can shoot this in. Let's set it in Sydney.
I've been there. I've been to Sydney.
Wow.
So I probably walked.
Oh, man. Wow.
In the same spot.
I worship the ground you walk on.
But yeah, they're in the beachfront. They're doing tricks.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Riding bow-legged. One of them is.
They're doing it really carefully, these tricks, right?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about this? And maybe this is to the movie's credit. Mm-hmm. Until Nicole Kidman, who is in the movie, got on a bike, I did not question whether those actors who played PJ and Goose were the ones doing the tricks.
Oh, okay.
They were wearing masks.
Yes, conveniently.
But once,
which I have to say, I've never seen anybody
wear those
street
masks.
Bike with a BMX mask on. I've never seen that before. Maybe it's an Australian thing, although I had to wonder why none of the other hundreds of BMX riders that show up in the course of this movie, why none of them have masks on.
Well, and,
but anyway.
Yeah, and I don't mean to like question Nicole Kidman's prowess as a BMX biker, but
you'd think it awfully convenient.
I feel like
it's an awfully good score that somebody could be that good at BMXing and also be an actress that would later go on to win an Academy Award.
Right.
So she didn't know how to bike.
She didn't.
She did not.
Yeah.
No.
So when she got on a bike, I was like, and I sort of, you know, could tell this is not her. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I guess the other two, that's not them.
I don't know about the other two. I don't know.
I mean, I don't either. Because
I do know
it's
that
not
it wasn't
as though
her.
They were. I could see them not having been hired for their acting skills. what happens? They're doing their tricks, and we also then we cut to Nicole, right?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Her name's Judy.
She works at a grocery store.
Yeah, well, she's working through summer holiday.
Yeah,
so she can earn money to buy a bike.
We're also introduced to. A villain of sorts. This is the only other musical cue we get, too.
Oh, yeah. The bumbling kid theme.
Right? This sort of chunky kid. He's wearing overalls. No. Suspenders.
Yeah.
Suspenders. Green. So he's color-coded, too. He's green.
He is. Yes.
Is he eating anything?
He's always eating something. Yeah, he's always eating, and it's always junk food. It's always candy bars or ice cream.
And we learn through a conversation, an exchange between he and Judy, that he has a lot of money. His parents have a lot of money, so he kind of gets what he wants.
Right. He's Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, and he sort of like makes fun of her. Ha ha, you have to work.
Right.
You'll never get a bike. Right.
It's just, I think, word for word what he says.
And she's like, I will get a bike. Right.
Yeah.
And she's sort of like trying to get these carts stacked and then back into the store. Right.
Right.
And he keeps pushing them off the end. And she's like, knock it off.
Quit being a jerk.
Yeah. And then her boss comes out and he's like, stop messing around. To her, she gets in trouble. And the kid's like, yeah, stop messing around. And then he pushes another set away, and they caram into the path of the oncoming BMX bandits that we met previously, PJ and Goose. And Goose just goes flying. He hits him.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I question their cred at that point. Because, like, they've been doing all these cool tricks, and then... they don't jump over the carts.
Well, they had practiced those tricks. They hadn't ever practiced jumping over shopping carts.
So Goose hits the carts and he goes flying, and then because of this incident, Judy gets fired.
Yeah, which is also a little bit questionable. Yeah. But
because admittedly. Because Goose,
Maybe they have stricter regulations in Australia.
Goose and PJ are like talking to her boss, like, it's okay, it's okay. You shouldn't fire her.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're fired, right? And
I won't listen to BMX bandits.
Yeah. So now they're all best friends.
Well, sort of.
Were they friends before that?
I don't think so. I don't think they knew each other.
Because Goose and PJ's bikes are like wrecked
as
a result of this, as a result of this crash. So now they need money to fix their bikes. And Judy is still, she lost her job and she was saving
She's
up to get a bike.
She's definitely not getting a bike.
Right?
Yeah.
So now they got to come up with some kind of way to get money. And once the trio is together, that's when the one-liners start coming, and they never stop. At this point, the script just turns into one-liners.
Yeah, basically.
And
yeah.
Goose is like the king deliverer of what?
No. Yes. The banter,
his cadence, and his delivery. His voice never, ever changes tone.
It's always somewhat this like spiteful deadpan.
He's always talking like this. and they're constantly like trying to one up each other.
Right.
Like she'll say something like, I don't know, I'm not going to be able to afford my bike now. We're not going to be able to afford to stay out here much longer. Oh, well, I can't afford to talk to you. I can't afford to be talked to. And, like, they just keep going. And Goose is just constantly cracking wise in this dry, like, sort of way.
There is, I think, a valid reason for that, though. Okay. I mean, I don't think it's just like, oh, I'm a fan of wisecrack, so I'm going to fill my face, entire script with them.
His same expression on his face the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. They're projecting. I think
the
two of them, yeah. they are projecting their essence. Like, that's their shtick, right?
What's PJ's shtick?
PJ's, he's the everyman. He's
the good-looking guy.
I know, but that's the thing.
He's the Casanova.
He doesn't need to portray, he doesn't have to project the shtick because he wears his shtick.
Yeah,
it's on his face, right?
Okay, yeah.
But Goose is like, I'm never going to compete with PJ.
And
I'm never going to compete with PJ.
He says as much.
I need to crack wise.
Yeah.
So that's
and
what
he's
he does.
Got sort of a whisper of a
There's
mustache.
Some serious sexual tension between
There's
the
a
three
lot.
Of them.
Yeah.
And it comes to the surface like almost immediately when what does she say? They're like, are we doing this together? And
she says
something like,
she said,
you know what they say, two's company, three will get you talked about.
Yeah. And they're arm in arm. Like, she's got her arms around their shoulders at that point. And they gave each other a knowing look.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like
there were a lot of knowing glances.
Deleted scenes or something where that statement was capitalized on.
Can't even hold it together.
Judy,
I love it.
Judy shows up at the docks one day, like the next day. And who comes puttering around in a little, you know, inflatable boat?
Schooner.
Yeah. But PJ and Goose. Don't tell it. Where'd you get this boat? How'd you afford this? And, it came with the rope. Where'd you get the rope? It was tied to the dock. Don't tell me you stole this. We better tell where we really got it. Oh, that's not as much fun. It's his dad's. That's pretty much the exchange.
That's it, yeah.
And no one's delivering lines with any... conviction.
No.
They're just sort of saying the lines.
Which, but this again, I think there's some validity in that. I mean, I think that's the way these guys would talk.
No.
Totally. They would totally.
Motionless and cold.
Because they're both trying to be cool. They're like, yeah.
But she's the
same. It's just his dad's boat, you know?
She's the sort of the same, though.
Well, she's playing cool, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, they're all playing cool.
They don't want to let on how much
they're in love.
They know that, yeah, that's going on there. Yeah.
They the scheme is to harvest muscles off of, like, various buoys and...
I completely forgot about that.
Right? Yeah. That's the initial scheme.
That's what they're initially thinking, right?
So they take this little boat out, and they're looking to get muscles to sell.
Yeah.
And they check one spot, and the muscles aren't big enough. And then they go to the very next place, which is sort of this floating barge, and they find a rope. And I've completely bypassed why we know what's at the end of this rope when they get to it.
The villains. The
right. Meanwhile, thieves. The villains, we've also come back to them. They've stolen these jewels, and then their leader shows up, and he's like, I've got another big score. It's even bigger than the last one. But what we need to make it happen are these walkie-talkies. And these walkie-talkies can be modified so that we can hear what the cops and the security guards are saying, but they can't hear what we're saying.
Right.
So the idea is they'd listen in while they sort of conduct their caper, right?
Yeah, they would have the upper hand.
Yeah, they'd always be a step ahead.
They could always, anticipate where the police were going to be.
And he starts assigning duties, and he gives Billy Idol and the mustachioed man...
He was kind of an adamant kind of looking
guy.
Yeah.
You could say Billy Idol and adamant are assigned the job of picking up the walkie-talkies, which are in the quote-unquote usual drop-off spot.
Right. Yeah.
Which happens to be where the PJ, Goose, and Judy end up. Judy finds this rope in the water, and she pulls it out. And at the end of this big box, and they're like, what's this? It's got to be something good. So they take it. And then we see the scene that I think you may have been referring to when you told me that you replayed a scene and made Deanna watch it.
Oh, okay.
This is the scene I would have made someone watch. The Billy Idol and
Adamant
are on their turbocharged speedboat heading out to the scene of the drop off. And Billy Idol is like standing up and leaning out over the front of the boat. And he's doing this like walk like an Egyptian move, like this crazy gyrating move as they move forward towards their drop off point.
The usual place.
So is that the scene?
That's not the scene.
Wow.
Yep. All right. So you'll get the second
guess. I lost it at that. I sat bolt upright and laughed.
that has never played as comically with me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is. No, I mean,
the way he's moving his body, and like for what reason?
Because he's Billy Idol.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He postures.
So they get there, and obviously it's been taken, and they pass the kids on the way there.
Mm, yeah.
So they're like, it's those kids. Meanwhile, the kids have opened it, and they're like, whoa, walkie-talkies, we can sell these. And they start selling them to all their friends, right?
Which is interesting, because why, first of all, why do these kids even want the walkie-talkie, right?
I would have wanted one.
Really?
It was a real walkie-talkie.
Weren't they charging like $50 or something for them, though?
No, they charged $40 to the rich kid.
Oh, right. Okay.
They test the range on them first.
Yeah.
They're like, we better make sure these work before we try to sell them.
Okay, and at this point, I think it's worth pointing out that Goose is testing them from his roof.
Yeah.
Which is like overlooking
all of Sydney.
Yeah, he basically has like the most beautiful view of the city.
Yeah.
And the bay and everything.
Yeah, and the other two
But they can't afford to repair their bikes?
No. The other two are elsewhere.
Yeah, one of them's on a hillside. And
they have a little conversation, and the cops are listening in. They can hear it.
Yeah.
And they're like, go find these kids that they have these walkie-talkies.
What are they doing on this
channel? They
shouldn't
have these, they're breaking the law. So they sell a bunch of walkie-talkies, and they get enough money to fix their bikes, and Judy gets a new bike. Judy's color is pink, in case you didn't already guess.
Right, if you might have assumed such, but...
They are also all wearing a shirt that says BMX Bandits, like a logo, like they...
They also hired a graphic designer to create a team logo. Yeah.
From this point on, the shape of the movie is they have stolen and then sold these walkie-talkies. They still have some left.
Not all of them, but yeah.
And the villains, being represented by Billy Idol and Adam Ant, give chase in various ways.
Man, do they ever.
We have a scene that takes place in the graveyard, cemetery, where the villains decide the best way to not be recognized is to wear scary Halloween masks. Yeah.
I'm gesturing. I'm waving my hands in praise of how great this is. How awesome.
And the three kids, they have walkie-talkies. They've kept one each for themselves, right? So they're in communication. They know that they're being chased, so they split up. They actually jump into the cemetery thinking they won't follow us
into
in here,
grave, yeah.
Right? And yeah, eventually Judy falls into an open grave.
Right. Just there.
Yeah.
Just an open grave.
She stays there to stay hidden. And Goose and PJ have split up, and Goose walks by the open grave. And we get a little shock. We get a little scare because Judy reaches up and grabs his foot and pulls him down. And you're like, is it a zombie? No, it's Judy. Right? And now we have a moment. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Goose.
There's a little bit of pathos here.
Goose and Judy kind of chat for a bit. And Goose decides, you know, we're sitting in an open grave in the middle of the night. We're being chased by... a couple of crazy men dressed as monsters. This might be the time to make my move.
And who can blame him? I mean, who can argue with that logic?
What's great is they kind of chat, and then he just sort of goes in. He gives her a kiss.
Yeah.
Right? And then he immediately understands that she's not interested. Right. Immediately he's like, well, I guess you didn't like that or something like that.
Yeah.
So they eventually get out of the cemetery and away from the villains. Right. Yep. And then the next scene, I think this is the next scene, is basically like a 30-minute long chase.
Yes. On bikes. It's
car versus bikes.
It is basically E.T.
Yeah.
In
extended.
An extended. It has moved from the suburbs of California to the, I guess, the
all
suburbs
of Sydney.
Of, yeah. The entire city of Sydney.
The
all of waterfront Sydney.
Here, and it's interesting. You look at those two scenes, and I think this is a valid comparison.
Okay.
Because I do think this movie, BMX Bandits, is very much like Goonies in all the best ways. And, you know, had I seen it growing up, I'm sure, like, I would have been like, this is the greatest thing.
You would have had a BMX shirt to go along with your shoe shirt.
But here's what's interesting. So you have these two bike scenes in both movies, right?
Yeah.
And the E.T. sequence, how long do you think that is?
It is almost exactly 15 minutes.
Okay. And the BMX Bandits sequence, it might not be 30 minutes.
It's long.
But I would guess maybe 20.
Yeah.
You might not agree with me. I would say one of these scenes works really well, and the other breaks down after a certain amount of time. Because you can only believe for so long that kids are outrunning cars on bikes.
Okay.
And you can
without
only,
the aid of an alien who will levitate them as yeah, well. We
or
also
or
out.
Without sort of taking shortcuts or going places cars can't go.
Right.
You know, which they do in BMX Bandits. But the problem is because this chase is so long, you're like, eventually these guys are going to catch them. And they get out of their car. They get back in their car. They get in the water. They get out of the water. Like, literally, there are so many parts to this chase. And, like, time and space don't really exist in the ways that we understand it. Because in one scene, you'll have, like, the villains have, like, crashed into a kiosk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, you know, get away. And they get out of the car, like, yelling, get out, whoa, we're trying to do something, you know. and the kids are still biking, getting away, right? The next scene, the kids round a corner, the car's right behind them. They have, in the space of, like, 2 seconds, completely caught up. And yet, for the next minute, can't seem to overtake the kids on bikes, right?
Right. Right.
There are several points in the chase where you're like, it's over. The kids have won. But the villains are relentless.
They it's are Billy Idol.
They're amazingly tenacious. Right? Like
without ever actually like being perceived as a valid threat,
right?
Too. Yeah. Like they are the most like from the get-go, they are the most like emasculated
villains.
Yeah,
I think there are maybe 3 times in that sequence where they seem to have lost. The villains seem to have lost, and like the first time is when they crash into this kiosk, and you think, okay, it's over. The kids got away, and they don't. Like they're like, we're back in the car,
back
and
in the chase.
Chasing.
Yep.
There's another point at which they maybe this is right at the beginning. They managed to chase Judy down to the dock, and they've got her.
They've got her cornered.
Great
yeah.
scene because she jumps into that little boat and she starts rowing away. And she's like, "Ha ha, you losers!"
And they're all like, "What do we do now?" I mean, she's literally like 20 feet from the dock. They could probably jump and hit her boat.
But what's great is as she is celebrating her victory, she realizes she never untied the boat, and so she's moored to the dock, and she realizes her hubris just as the villains turn to see that, like, Billy Idol's like, hey, look, she can't get away, and they start pulling her in, right? And I think they actually get her back onto the dock,
yeah,
and that's when PJ and Goose show up,
yeah,
to save the day. And PJ kind of like
one of them picks up a harpoon.
PJ does,
yeah,
and he sort of does a what's the term I'm looking for here?
Like
joust.
Yeah.
He, like, jousts Adamant into the water. No, he jousts Billy Idol.
Yeah.
And Goose's gambit is to grab a fire extinguisher and basically just fire extinguish Adamant into the water.
Yeah.
And then
Which
they
works.
Get away.
It works.
That's sort of the beginning of the chase, right?
Yeah.
So then they crash in the kiosk, but they get back in, and then, like, they literally crash the car, and it's steaming, and it looks like
or
it's
Or they just
done.
Stop it in the middle of the road and pursue on foot for seemingly no reason. Yeah.
Oh, the chase. It's
fantastic.
I just want to make it clear that if you had started the chase scene when we started talking about the chase scene, you probably wouldn't even be a third of the way through.
Yeah, you'd still be watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you'll probably still be watching when we finish this episode.
Yeah. So they do this really long extended chase, and sort of how does it end? I guess they just get away, right?
Yeah, I mean, they eventually but not without going down the water slides with their bikes.
That's right. I forgot. Of course, the most critical moment.
They ride. First of all, they ride into this water park, which, you know, requires admission or something. You know, somebody's got to have tickets or something.
But everyone lets them in.
Yeah, they just they come right in. And then Adam Manson.
They go right in.
They go right in. Well, Adam Manson does. Only Adam Manson does. And then there's no lifeguard or anybody on duty to stop them from going headfirst down these water slides with their bikes.
Yeah, they carry
their bikes.
In line.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are luckily three different slides all in a row, and all three of them go in with their bikes.
And did you notice that the sounds are accompanying them down the water slide?
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Greatest scene. I mean, top 10 scenes. This is probably up there for me.
Well,
you know, there are a lot of scenes that I will swear by. Obviously, the ET bike chase scene is probably the best scene ever made.
Okay.
By my standards, you know. Like if you're talking like
scenes.
Yes, John's if you were judging something strictly on John criteria, that one's going to win.
Okay.
Probably hands down, you know. But this going down the water slides with the bikes has to be on that list somewhere.
Is this the scene you showed
Deanna? Yeah. This is what I showed Deanna. had to do it.
After the chase scene, is that when the kids get arrested?
Yeah.
And the cops are like, "You kids,
that was a great scene.
You caused a lot of problems.
Millions and millions of dollars of damage. But
we'll let it slide. Because you found some jokers we've been trying to catch for a while.
You totally pegged Adamant and Billy Idol.
What's great is that not only are they going to forgive the massive amount of financial damage caused by this trio.
Right.
And admittedly, it's not all the trio's fault.
Yeah.
But they are also told there's a reward for these guys and you're eligible to receive it.
Even though you are minors.
Pay you. Yeah. We could take the money from the reward, which you owe, and pay for the damages caused that we are blaming you for. We're just going to give you the reward.
Yeah.
If you catch them, but don't try to catch them
now. And this harkens back. We didn't mention this point earlier, but so there's actually a multiple layer of financial incentives here.
Not only do they want, so the attainable dream is
they fix
better
their bikes.
Fixed
Judy
bikes.
Gets a bike.
Judy gets a bike.
She doesn't have to work through
the holiday dream that will never come true.
They want a BMX track.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be on the road all the time.
Yeah.
They can ride their bikes on a dedicated track. Yeah. They can hold races and stuff.
Keep dreaming.
Yeah.
That's
never going to happen.
but hey, this reward is enough.
We could build that track, mate.
So after being told not to interfere from that point forward by the cops, right?
They immediately proceed to interfere.
Yeah. And they get together all their BMX buddies.
Hundreds. Yeah. And these kids are all like 2 to 5 years younger than them. They have no friends their own age.
No.
They're all
And they sort of come up with this plan where they're gonna lure the villains with the box that has the walkie-talkies in it. And we get another it's sort of a chase.
It doesn't rival the last chase.
The chase, it's hard to call anything a chase, right?
anything ever.
They lure the villains, and now the villain boss he's personally overseeing this one because these knuckleheads,
you can't trust the knuckleheads,
haven't managed to
catch these kids. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't their mugshots like right next to each other in like the mugshot yearbook?
Yeah.
Whatever?
Yeah, they are. and the trio kind of hangs out in the open with the box that they got the walkie-talkies in.
Yeah.
And the villains find them. And they sort of crack a joke before the villains find them. We haven't been able to get away from these guys for the past 2 years. And now when we need them most, we can't find them. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
And then right as he says that, there the villains show up. And they go, all right, we give up. You can have these back. Now I'm done, right? And they take Judy. They're like, well, we're taking Judy as
just an incentive.
Incentive.
Yeah. Bargaining chip.
Don't try anything. They proceed to try something.
Don't try anything.
They do try something.
They
though.
Do. They do.
They,
it's a good
they,
thing.
They're like, if we see any, they say, we're taking her. And if we see you or any of your BMX buddies,
that's bandits, mate.
Did they say they're going to kill her?
Yeah.
We're going to kill her. And they take her into this truck and drive away. They immediately follow them, right?
Sure.
And no, they stay there. They stay there. No, because then the BMX buddies network
are
planted all throughout Sydney. And they all have their walkie-talkies.
Coordinated with walkie-talkies.
And they're radioing into PJ and Goose, who are next to a map of the city. They're like, they just went down this street. And they're tracing the line to find the headquarters.
They're basically doing the police job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they find the headquarters, they're like, all right, everybody, go there. Right?
Yeah.
And they...
That's where it's at.
Hundreds of children on BMX bikes converge upon the villains. There's sort of an extended little sequence where
Zany
hides. They attack the villains with bags of flour. And they win.
You know, at this point, yeah, you don't even need any more detail. No. You know what? There's
they win.
Lots of sloppy Nickelodeon shenanigans and bikes.
Well,
and
you know who's helping out as well at this point?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is the little jerk, yeah. The jerk kid.
Jerky rich kid.
Who, there was a great scene we didn't talk about where it's when Judy's in trouble. She's, you know, cornered by the bad guys, and she's just about to run out to the docks, you know, to jump into the boat and not get away. But she radios for help. She's like, Goose, PJ, I need help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't hear it at first because they were listening to their boombox. But then they hear it.
Yeah.
And they take off to go help.
Where's Judy? It's weird that she hasn't checked in.
They take off to help, and they pass by that kid, the jerk rich kid, who has in his gluttonous and avarice-filled ways has bought not one but two ice cream cones from the ice cream man. And as PJ and Goose ride by, they steal his ice cream. They take one bite.
In fine fashion.
Oh, yeah, right out of his hands.
Yeah.
And they each take one bite at, and then just slam it on the floor. On the ground.
Throw it on the ground.
Anyway, he helps out in the end.
Yeah.
Despite that, right?
Well, because, yeah.
It's for the good of the city.
It's for the good of the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And they catch the criminals. The cops, you know, we don't even see them again, I don't think. But they must have been happy with what happened because the
kids
trio
got the reward.
Get their reward. And the final scene in the movie is the opening day at the BMX track. I'm ready to die. Down the green. Competition dies. I've got to win. I want to know out some of the excellent names
all right.
of cast members.
All right. Wait, real names or character
real names? Real names. Okay. Mr. David Argue. Argue. I think he played Goose.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right?
David Argue.
But maybe...
No. David Argue...
was he Billy Idol?
He was Billy Idol.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps better than David Argue was... Angelo D'Angelo.
That's PJ. Angelo D'Angelo. James Lugton. That's Goose.
There's a guy
on the... Nicole Kidman?
No, I don't
know.
There's a guy on the crew whose last name is Strange. It was something Strange.
Oh, he made that up. That's a screen name.
It's still
that's
good.
That's his Alan Smithy.
Oh. Those are the only names. David Argue. I'm glad that it's Billy Idol. He was my favorite villain.
Yeah, he gets top billing here, according to
Why
this.
Is it? I guess maybe he went on to
maybe
do
he'd done
a lot
other
more.
Things.
Maybe he played Billy Idol.
He was in a lot of not entirely noteworthy movies.
Was there anything else that... What do you think? Did they ever make a sequel or anything? Did we get BMX Bandits 2?
They never did. But what?
They never did.
What you've got here, and I think this is interesting.
That this is also the same as Goonies. Never a sequel. Did they make a video game sequel?
They did
BMX
not.
Bandits.
Not to 2? My knowledge. Maybe there's one in Australia, yeah, like the Australian Atari game.
Who directed it?
Brian Trenchard Smith.
Oh yeah, that's a great name too.
A fantastic name and a fantastic director. He's
what
he's
did
done
he?
Could,
so
really
do we have
stuff.
His other efforts that we could perhaps look at and pursue?
Yeah, if you the if viewing? You say you listen to this podcast and you discover a latent Brian Trenchard Smith
affinity.
There are many places that I can recommend you go next.
Okay.
Number one is a movie called Dead End Drive-In.
I already like the title.
Which, yeah, great title. So Brian Trenchard Smith was kind of this, he was like a Roger Corman of Australia.
Oh, okay.
So he was involved in a lot of exploitation movies.
Yeah.
And they all sort of have the same feel, that kind of happy-go-lucky feel of BMX Bandits. They never really get too dark, even when they're dealing with, you know, these like very dark topics. So in like Dead End Drive-In, the this city in the near future decides that there are too many youths running rampant all over the city. So they come up with this scheme to lure them into a drive-in and then trap them in there and just let them. It's like a concentration camp for kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're stuck there eating junk food and forced to subsist on their own.
Sounds like, kind of fun.
It's awesome. It's great. I mean, it's like
kids.
A dream come true, basically.
Yeah.
So that's a great movie that he did. He also did a movie called The Quest, which I think, if I'm thinking of it, yeah, this actually has Henry Thomas from E.T., who played Elliot.
Oh, okay.
And he did two Leprechaun sequels.
Whoa.
He did what some might call, well, I don't know if they'd call them the best of the sequels, but he did Leprechaun 3, and then he did Leprechaun 4.
Which one's like...
Leprechaun 3, I don't
one
remember.
One of them's in The Hood.
No, actually, The Hood was, I think, 5.
No, I'm saying one of those sequels, not of the Trenchard Smith.
Oh, right, but one of the Leprechaun sequels.
Yeah, it was
two of them
in
were
the
actually.
Hood, right?
Right, there was Leprechaun in The Hood, and then there was Leprechaun Back to The Hood.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there was a sequel
so sort
to the sequel.
Their own movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, their own
spin-off series.
Yeah.
It was like the, it was like Different Strokes from Good Times. Wasn't Different Strokes spun off of Good Times? I think so.
Maybe.
Or the Jeffersons, maybe?
I don't know. It's
I can't
a spinoff,
remember.
Though.
There's a spinoff, yeah. Right.
One of them, yeah. There are spinoffs in the world.
So Leprechaun, The Hood movies were spinoffs.
But Trenchard Smith.
He did Leprechaun in Space.
Okay, good.
Almost as good as The Hood. He's done a lot of TV, like cable TV. He directed the Flipper TV series
good.
In the mid-90s.
Okay.
Time Tracks, Silk Stockings.
See, he's working.
Yeah, he's done
a ton
of stuff.
What's his most recent credit?
He just completed something called Absolute Deception. Being released in 2013, a widowed reporter recruits the help of a federal agent to investigate her late husband's secrets, but the two become the target of unknown attackers. It stars Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh.
So clearly he's done well for himself.
I would like to see a beat. Maybe, so let's say that is really successful, mm-hmm. right? And like he finds sort of a magical pairing with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And Cuba Gooding kind of like, you know, sadly sort of, I think, fallen off the radar to a certain degree. Great sure. actor, but has maybe made some choices in film that haven't really benefited him. Mm-hmm. Maybe due to the success of this, you know, latest movie and due to the outcry from the fans, like, we want our sequel. When our BMX Bandits sequel, maybe we get like BMX Bandits 2 and they're grown up and Cuba can play PJ.
And, I love it.
And maybe we can get, granted, you could probably get the original actors, but
right.
You know, who knows if they're still acting or alive?
Because people in Australia yeah. die all the time.
Kidman can reprise her role as Judy, yes. of course, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of who you could get to play Goose.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Gosling would make a great Goose.
You're right.
What if the tables have turned now? In
Gosling,
later years.
Yeah, yeah. Or Goose.
Goose Gosling? Is now Gosling.
Gosling is Goose.
As Goose.
Wow. Gosling is Goose. That's a tat. Like, that's
Gosling
all you need for
is
the.
Goose.
Yeah, in.
Oh. They can do like multiple posters. There can yeah. be like just a Goose poster that's
yeah.
blue and
Gosling.
Then, yeah, PJ Goose. Poster's red.
Cuba, yeah. PJ. Nicole is Judy.
Still.
Billy Idol is. Billy Idol. Adamant. They you could totally Whoa. Have those character posters.
I love it.
And like they have to get the crew back together, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's years. It's been years. Goose.
They haven't ridden bikes in.
Here's the crazy part. Goose married Judy.
Okay.
Like
unexpectedly.
Yeah. Well, and like, because like you said, like the tables have turned. Turns out Goose is actually really good looking. And even though I.
Turns out.
I know we said Cuba for the role of PJ, but I actually thought of a better
okay.
actor, and that is Mario Lopez.
Okay, yeah.
I think you can see the
yeah,
that
yeah.
a little bit better.
Similar hair.
Yeah. And I think PJ's sort of down on his luck. You know, he maybe...
Mario Lopez could probably pull that off.
he tried like a modeling career, and it didn't really work out. He's forgotten his...
There's not much of a market for models in BMX attire.
Well, the thing is, both Goose and PJ have forgotten their roots, right? Uh-huh. Goose sort of settled down with Judy and kind of, you know, because he reached the goal that he'd been wanting to reach for so long, he sort of forgot about BMX. And, you know, Judy is a successful working woman now.
Yeah.
And doesn't have time to ride bicycles.
I think she's an executive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, she hires PJ, right, out of the goodness of her heart. And she's like, you know, I we're old friends. You know, I know that we had kind of a falling out, and I'm sorry that you and Goose aren't friends anymore. But, you know, you should come and work for my company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't take any offense to this. The best I can do is janitor. Right. But you can work your way up from that.
Right.
On this first day on the job, PJ causes some major mishap. And now they are in a lot of debt. And they need money to pull.
Because the custodial staff.
Well, he like causes a fire. And they got to pull Judy out of, she needs to be saved again.
Out of dire financial
right
peril. Yeah.
So they got to come up with a way to make some money and fast. Yeah. And wouldn't you know, a couple of goofball criminals have finish their sentence and are newly free and walking the streets of Sydney. And they got a harebrained scheme to make a lot of money. And I'm kind of losing it. You get the idea, right?
Right.
We reprise sort of the plot of BMX Bandits, yeah, where
there's a chase scene.
Yeah,
it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's a trilogy of chase scenes.
Yeah,
and then there's two movies on either side.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you have the BMX Bandits 2, BMX Bandits: The Chase Begins. That's the first of the trilogy.
Right.
BMX Bandits. The chase is over. No, it's not. That's the second of the trilogy, right?
Uh-huh.
BMX Bandits, the chase finishes for real this time. And then you have BMX Bandits 3, which is the wraps it all up. So it's like a trilogy nested within
a single movie. Yeah.
Yeah. No, do you see what I mean?
No.
BMX, we have BMX Bandits 1 that came out in 1983.
So there's like a...
BMX Bandits 2, that's a whole movie.
Okay.
And then BMX Bandits 2 ends right as a chase is going to start.
Okay.
Then we have BMX Bandits, The Chase Begins. That's, okay. That's a movie.
I don't understand.
That's a movie.
I don't...
BMX Bandits, so, in, okay... Literally, there are 5 films in addition to the original BMX Bandits. Okay.
Because of public demand.
Yeah. Well, they got to go bigger and better. Okay.
Right.
There's BMX Bandits 2, which is the sequel to BMX Bandits.
Okay.
The sequel ends just as the chase is about, it's like cliffhanger.
Okay. Okay. Da-na-na. I'm with you there. With you there. But the next installment is not
BMX Bandits 3. It's the beginning of the chase trilogy.
Okay.
BMX Bandits, The Chase Begins.
This is like a spinoff. This is Leprechaun in the Hood.
BMX Bandits, The Chase is Over. No, it's not.
Okay.
BMX Bandits, The Chase is Really Over This Time.
And then BMX.
So it's a trilogy nested within a trilogy.
Okay. It's like the machete cut of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah. But we did the machete cut before anyone complained.
Right. Preemptive strike.
Yeah. Gosling is Goose. That might be the best thing we've ever come up with. That you came
It's the role
with.
He was
admittedly,
born to play.
Admittedly.
It's the role he was born to play.
See the movie. It's good.
It's on Netflix. It's streaming on Netflix constantly.
Yeah.
All the time.
And make sure you turn like the saturation on your TV up.
Yeah.
To really get the full effect.
And the volume too.
Yeah. put it in the hour cut.
If we put our heads together, we can come up with something.
Yeah, multiple dandruff.